Great. Good evening, everyone. My name is Nico, if you've not met me yet. That's what I want to talk about in some ways, about remembering well. Not, if you want to hear a really good talk about remembering what God has done for you, then you just listen to the talk that Trevor did about 2 weeks ago, I think, was it? Two weeks ago? It's on the website. You can listen to that. So I'm just going to do a quick recap. No, not really. You can listen to the podcast. I want to read this verse from 1 John 1, verse 1 to 4. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." Some transcripts says your joy. That's why brackets are. That's from 1 John 1, verse 4, 1 to 4. And that's what I want to talk about. Is what's your experience of Jesus, really? And what do you remember of him, really? But before we carry on, let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us together tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to remind ourselves and each other of your character, of who you are, through the worship, through the songs we're singing, through the Bible reading, through just being together, Lord. We know that you are a triune God, that you love community. And thank you, Lord, for great pizza. Or just for pizza if it's not that great. But thank you for that, Lord. Thank you just for fellowship and that we can be together. And we ask, Lord, that you will be here through your Spirit now. And that we will get to encounter you and remember who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. So, I quickly need to get something at the back that I forgot. So, I struggle sometimes. I remember things that I hear very easily. But I don't remember things that I read necessarily as easily. And I think, like most people, I remember stuff I feel very easily. Now, one of the reasons why I bought this camera, this one, which I still don't know how to use. One of the reasons why I bought this camera was Anke, my wife, was pregnant with our first daughter. And I thought, I can't miss a thing. So I got this camera. And one of the ways I remember is by looking at pictures. I don't know if you're the same. Anyone of you have a camera on your phone even? Do you take lots of pictures? Basically, since Madeline was born, my whole phone memory, probably about two-thirds of that, is just pictures and videos of Madeline. But looking back into the archives, I came across a couple of good... That's not Anke, by the way. That's my good friend, one of my best friends. And as you can see, that's on the 1st of January in 2005. And as you can see, we're wearing shorts and T-shirts. And as you can see, there's a Christmas tree in the background because that is taken in Namibia, where it's summer during Christmas, which is great. This is Kuni as well, the same guy. He turned the camera around while he was taking the picture, so that came out lovely. And this is the two of us. You might see we're holding up four. That was our fourth Two Oceans Half Marathon on the 22nd of March 2008. That was the day before. This was before the race, by the way. It definitely wasn't after. Now, God has something to say about us remembering. And this is one of the verses. He says, "The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, not just now, but throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." That's in Numbers 15. God says we need to remember. And if you look at how he speaks to the Israelites later on after they leave Egypt, often he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Do you remember? Even hundreds and hundreds of years after that, he still says, do you remember what I did for your ancestors? I didn't even do it for you. I did it for your ancestors. Do you remember who I am? Do you remember who I am? Now, I like photography. And sometimes we can remember the really nice things. I mean, it's nice to look back and think, oh, yeah, those were the days. Like this picture, for instance. I took this on a 5-day walking trip. It's really lovely. That's not... I'm neither one of those people. But that's on the beach where we walked. That was the group we walked with. And the guy at the back, the top left, the guy with both his arms in the air, older gentleman from my church in South Africa, and he told me an interesting thing. He was walking around with his bird-watching book the whole day. So as we would walk, he would walk, and there's a pen in this book, and then he would walk and sort of look through his binoculars and see something. And then I would see him writing something in the bird-watching book, and I asked him, what are you doing? He said, well, I've been doing this for years and years now. Whenever I see a bird in this book for the first time, I write down the date and where it was. And then sometimes at night when I can't sleep back home, I just page through this book. And it's as if a whole world of memories just flood my mind. And I look and see, oh, there. I saw this bird for the first time. I remember that trip. And then you remember all 5 days of that trip. It's an act of remembrance. Sometimes there are very special dates, like the day Anke and I got engaged. I was much smaller back then. I think it's the stripes. The day we got married, walking off into the sunset. Well, no, it wasn't the sunset yet, but walking off. The day my sister and her husband got engaged on the 24th of January 2015, after years and years of going out. The day I was nailed down by a month-year-old baby for the first time in my life, which was really special. The day when we have fun with friends who become family. And then the family trips where Madeline plays with her grandmother back in South Africa on the beach. It was earlier this year. And it's those times when I want to say, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. It feels like when I remember these happy thoughts and happy memories, then it's easy to say, praise the Lord. You know, it's all right. You're okay. You're good to me. I will say praise you. But sometimes, I mean, life isn't always just blessing and loving and good memories. Sometimes we have bad memories. For instance, this might look funny, but this is actually the time when we said farewell to my best friend, Lucas. And we went out that night because the next day he moved away. And we were roommates for a very, very long time. And we went through a lot. And, you know, we might be looking like, or it might seem like we're having fun and making jokes, which we were. But deep down, it was sad to say farewell. Or the day my dad passed away. I remember this camera, just shortly after I bought this camera. On the day my dad passed away, I wanted to be alone, and I took a walk in Richmond Park, and I just took pictures and talked to God. It's not a day I want to remember necessarily, but there it is, it's there. Or the day shortly after Madeline was born, when we had to say farewell to my mum-in-law, getting on the plane going back to Namibia after 5 weeks with us and her bonding really, really intimately with Madeline. You know, these type of verses make sense. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. That's in Lamentations 3, verse 19 to 24. Now, I can tell you a really good story about this, and it involves my most embarrassing moment of my whole life so far. But I won't, because we're running out of time. But this was a really significant verse. Okay, I'll tell you. Okay. Because I like embarrassing myself. So I did this what we call a service year for Christ in South Africa. And as part of our training, we stayed in this sort of like a hostel kind of thing for students who study in teaching, actually. And we basically took over this whole hostel, this whole accommodation of rooms and so on. And the washing room where we did our washing was sort of outside. You had to go through the sort of lecture area, around the back, and we did our washing there, and then you had to bring it back through the lecture area up the steps, and my room was sort of the second door on the left. And I remember I always sat at the back where you guys are sitting. Yeah, always sat at the back. Now, be careful. This might be a warning. So I always sat at the back, and this one time, I decided I'm going to sit in the front row for this session. I woke up, felt confident, said, yeah, I'm going to sit at the front. And I remember I sat more or less where Trevor is sitting now, sort of in that spot, right in the middle, right in the front. And there was just loads and loads of clothes lying on the front of this lecture hall kind of thing. And it's just people who, you know, forgot their jumpers and so on. And our leader got up and said, listen, we invite people here. They come and lecture. They come and teach us. We really have to, look at this. This isn't nice. We really have to, you know, just take our stuff back to our room. For instance, and he picked up a pair of underpants, bright red underpants. And I was sitting right in the front, and I thought, oh, my goodness, this is hilarious. This is so funny. Look, and I said, yelled out, look, there's a name tag on the inside. And so there were. And our leader opened up and said, Niku Mare. And I basically just sank and shrank into my chair. It was the most embarrassing thing ever. I felt physically ill, actually. And for the rest of that day, I stayed up in my room because I felt physically ill. And I remember sort of feeling somewhat feverish as well. And then waking up in the afternoon and just feeling really, really sorry for myself, really, really depressed, really embarrassed. And I opened up my Bible, and this verse, Lamentations 3, verse 19 to 24, open up. So it's not always lovely and happy and smiley. And that's just, I mean, that's a silly example. But really, we face really tough things. We face really, really tough things. But the one constant we always have is this. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, and sometimes we have to say it to ourselves because we forget, don't we? Or we don't have the people around us to say it to us. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Now, I need a volunteer. Anyone? Volunteers will be assigned. Yeah? You want to? Cool? Great. Yeah, come on. Can you tell me what's happening in this picture? Can you give me the background to what's happening, Connor? Come on, Ed.
It looks like you're on a rugby tour. Well, there's definitely boys that have got rugby stuff on, and they are smoking pipes and chewing the fat and pointing at something.
That's a great description of the photo. But what are we actually doing? And no, sorry, by the way, no, we're not on a rugby tour. to give you some background, yes, there are pipes involved. Does anyone know this story? I know it. I was there. I experienced it. This was at university. Four of our friends decided we're going to have a Back to the Roots Day, and we decided to dress up as, I don't know, as traditional as we can with our pipes and watch the, I think the Springboks played the All Blacks that day or something. I can't remember. But anyway, this was taken in the parking lot of a student center where we were just basically posing for photos to be funny. And these are three of my good friends back from uni. And we went to the guy with the hat sort of pointing with a stripy fur thing on his hat. We went to his farm a couple of years later, or actually a year later. We went to his farm in Namibia, and we were hunting and had a really good time, the four of us, plus another guy who isn't in this photo. And by just looking at this photo, I can recall all of this, and I can remember all of this because I was there, I experienced it. Now, if I were to ask Ed, what was I thinking there, you probably won't be able to say. Okay? But I can, because I was there, I experienced it, I was in the moment there. Now, my question is, this is my story, but what is yours? What is yours? What is your experience of Jesus? What is your experience of God? And how is that relevant today? This is what 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says. It says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Now, we can easily lose track of what he's trying to say. But the thing I want to focus on is the last bit. To give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Why do you have hope tonight? Even if you're facing great victories, facing a great summer holiday at Focus with awesome weather, or you're facing Focus with horrible weather, whatever the case may be, whatever you're facing tonight, why are you hoping tonight? What is a thing that gives you hope? And this brings him back to the bit that I read before in 1 John 1 verse 1-4. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." It was John's personal experience of Jesus Christ that he proclaimed, that he professed, that he testified to. Nothing else, no one else's. It wasn't a good talk that he heard from someone that he proclaimed and testified about. It was his personal experience with Jesus Christ that he proclaimed. "The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy complete." Now, John experienced something of Jesus Christ very intimately, it sounds, that they've seen him, they've touched him, they've spoken to him, they've shared food with him, they walked with him, they saw him do great, great things. And what are the things you have seen Jesus do? What are your personal encounters with Jesus? I'm fully convinced that we can't meet Jesus and encounter him for real without being changed somehow. And the question is again, what is your story? What is the story you're going to tell your children? What is the story you're going to tell your neighbors about your encounter with Jesus? How real is Jesus to you? What are the things you remember about Jesus? Not necessarily remember what people said about him. What are the things you remember about him? Two things for me. One is his incomparable grace. And I can tell you stories about how he's been gracious to me, even though I didn't deserve it. And the other thing is his incredible way of providing, sometimes at the very last minute, but always on time. And the golden thread that runs through all of this is his great, great love for you and I. Now, I don't know if you've met Jesus yet. I don't know if you've encountered him in a real sense yet. But what I would like to say is, if you haven't, give it a go. See what it's like. Just pray this prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Or just say, Jesus, I want to know you. He won't disappoint. And if you've met him before, and you know him well, what is the things that you remember? What is the things that you are going to communicate to those around you about Jesus? What is your story going to be? So, Father, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you give us opportunities to remember your sacrifice for us, like we're going to do now when we come to communion. Father, and I pray that when we ask you to reveal more of yourself to us, that you will hear us, that you will come to us, that you will speak to us, that we will stand in absolute awe of who you are. I pray, Lord, that we will have real intimate encounters with you. Over summer, when everyone who's going to focus, everyone who's not going to focus, wherever we are, Lord, we want to meet you, we want to know you. And I pray for significant, significant meetings and encounters with you. Lord, not just to feel warm and fuzzy on the inside, Lord, but that we can see you, your power, see your love, your grace in action in this world and in our lives. I pray, Lord, that when we're facing difficult things, we will be filled with hope, the hope that only you can give. And when we're facing great victories, Lord, and we're filled with great joy and happiness, I pray that you will be there with us, celebrating with us, being happy with us. Thank you, Lord, that you're an intimate, intimate Savior. And that we can but ask for you, and you will pour out yourself to us. Amen.